Hallelujah. Why don't we pray before you sit down? Our Heavenly Father, what a privilege to assemble, to think, to pray, to plan, to strategize for finishing this task before your second coming. Our prayer is that your Spirit, who began to move from yesterday, will carry us one step forward. Move us until we are able to finish this work by the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please take your seats. The type of titles Pastor Steve gives me, I can only tell you, don't believe everything you hear. Okay. I wasn't here yesterday in the evening, but I have heard a summary of the message. And this morning, I want us to take a look at why the task of world evangelism hasn't been finished and what we should do about it. Essentially, the theme of this conference is evangelism and the second coming of Jesus Christ. You don't need a pair of spectacles to see in the Bible that Jesus said, I am going, I will come again. In John chapter 14, verse 1 to 3, he said that, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And when I finish, I will come and take you to be with me, so that where I am, there you will be also. No, we will only read the verses which I feel are critical. You can still project. And when Jesus went to heaven, in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 to 11, we are told that as the apostles and disciples kept looking into the sky until their neck was breaking, two men, angels, stood beside them and said, men of Galilee, what's happening to you? You see, this same Jesus you see going to heaven, he will come back the same way he went. There is no doubt in the minds of the writers of the scripture that Jesus Christ is coming back. And that is one of the main reasons why we have not finished the task of world evangelism. We don't believe that Jesus is coming back. You want me to say it again? I remember when I was young, we were at Jessica, and our father forbade us from going to watch movies. But there was one big one in town. I think it was Jack Palance or one of these Hercules Unchained. You know, the type that when they pass by, all the students look at each other and they know this one, I will be there. So we quickly finished everything in the house and pion, we dashed away to go and watch Sini. Not knowing, our father checked and found out. When we came back, 4 a.m., came and knocked on the door with his big cane. And my big brother told us that, hey, Papa is around. Papa is around. We didn't mind him. Then he opened the door. Come and see. We were not prepared. You see, we were not prepared. Many of us claim we believe Jesus is coming again. But the way we are living, it shows you don't. Because if Jesus were really coming again the second time, you won't be living like you are doing. You won't spend your money the way you are spending. You won't pray the type of prayers you have been praying. You won't marry the woman you have married. If you were really to believe that Jesus, who came and died on the cross for the sin of man 2,000 years ago, is coming again, you won't live like you are living. A lot of pastors and church members and even evangelists are living and doing what they are doing because they don't believe Jesus is coming. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the scripture says that in the last days, from verse 1 to 4, there will be scoffers who will arise and say, oh, where is the promise of his coming? This thing we have heard, every time I'm coming soon. We've heard, oh, don't mind. Yes. Let's read it.
2 Peter chapter 3 from verse 1 through to 4. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming?
Where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? 2,000 years ago, he said, I'm coming soon. He hasn't come as yet. Eh? 4,000 years, Christ, he hasn't come. You don't do your thing and stop wasting our time.
For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation.
You have to understand that with the Lord. 2 Peter 3:8 says, 1,000 years is like one day. One day is like 1,000 years. God can descend in one day. In one day. You see? In Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, verse 12, and verse 20, three times in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, Jesus said, behold, I am coming soon.
Revelation chapter 22, verse 12, first of all.
7, 12, and 20.
7, 12, and later 20.
Yes.
Behold, I come quickly.
Behold, I come quickly. I come quickly. I come quickly. If Jesus is a liar, why do you trust him for salvation? Why do you bother to trust him for salvation? He says, I'm coming quickly. And his quickly has taken 2,000 years. So you, because of that, you are not preparing. You see? The reason is, he says, I'm coming quickly to put a certain attitude in all his followers. That's why he said it. He knew he wouldn't be coming until 2,000 years. But he wanted an attitude in his members. That's why he told them, I'm coming quickly.
Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the, and verse 12 now. And behold, I come quickly.
Behold, I come quickly.
Last chapter
of the last book of the Bible. Yes.
And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be.
And 20.
20 now. He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus.
Why do you think he's saying that? Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. If three times in the last chapter of the last book of the Bible, he says, I'm coming quickly, and it's taking him 2,000 years, why did he tell us that? You see, our attitude towards the second coming must change. Otherwise, we can never finish this work. And the second reason why the work is not finished is that many of us look at the task and just surveying it alone, we are discouraged about how big the work is. As I speak now, 42 out of 100 tribes in this world haven't heard the gospel. They are unreached. 42% are unreached tribes and people groups. So, the first time I went to Navrongo, what? Village after village after village without a single church, mosque. I said, what? That time the Ghana Evangelism Committee went and did head count, and there were 5,300 towns and villages without a single church. When I took our first missionary in Pioneers to Guinea-Conakry, we traveled 100 miles inland. Mosque. No church. I wept. I said, Father! And we went to their former capital. And so we asked them, is there any church here? They said, yes. We said, where? This person said, ask this one. We walked there, ask. They said, ask that person. We walked, ask. Until we came to a house where a Catholic family was meeting. That was the church, the only church in the second capital of Guinea-Conakry. I said, what? The first time I went to Mauritania, I shook my head. 99% Muslim. What? So the statistics itself is discouraging. The fact that Somalia is 99% Muslim, Libya is 99.6% Muslim, and Morocco, 98% Muslim, Tunisia, 98% Muslim, Algeria, 97% Muslim, and Niger, 97% Muslim, Western Sahara, 100% Muslim, Gambia, 95% Muslim, Senegal, after 100 years of missionary work, still 92% Muslim. Mali, 92% Muslim. You know, when you listen to the statistics, you are like, what? Egypt, 84% Muslim. Over our heads alone, over 200 million Muslims. Nigeria is 180 million population, still counting, and they are 50% Muslim. Sierra Leone, 60% Muslim. So, you look at the task, and this is Africa. I'm not talking about Indonesia, the largest Muslim population in the world, over 120 million Muslims. I'm not talking about India, over 100 million Muslims. I'm not talking about, Saudi Arabia, what are you talking about? So when you look at the work, you are like, actually, nobody can finish. Therefore, let me also be my own little place, doing my own little thing, and then let's just sleep. But Jesus will never give us work which we cannot do. No thinking father does it. He said in Luke 11:11-13 that, which father, your son will ask you for bread and you give him a stone, or for fish and then you will give him a snake? Eh? Wicked human fathers don't do it. How much more your heavenly father? What makes you think that even we human beings, you can't tell your class one boy to go and carry a car? We don't do it. Any thinking father, do you do it? Do you think that Jesus will tell us to go and evangelize the world if he knows it cannot be done? Matthew 24:14, Jesus clearly said that this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. Mark 13:10, Jesus said the gospel must first be published among all nations. Mark 16:15-16, he says, go, preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. Luke 24:46-47, he says, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name among all nations. John 20:21, he said, just as the Father has sent me, so send I you. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and you will be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Lord Jesus, if you know we can't do the work, why did you give it to us? If you know we can't do the work, why did you give it to us? If you know we can't do the work, why did you give it to us? Were you teasing us? Were you insulting us? Were you humbling us? What? Why did you give us work which we cannot do? My answer is, Jesus gave us this work because he knows we can. He knows we can. Early church, the whole of Acts, from chapter 1 to chapter 28, is 33 years of work. Acts of Apostles, from chapter 1 to chapter 28, the end, is 33 years of work. No mobile phone, no electricity, no megaphone, no four-wheel drive, no internet, no WhatsApp, no nothing. Fishermen, no university education. They carried the gospel. They died for the gospel. They were killed. They were stoned. They were in prison. They were mocked, ridiculed, resisted, persecuted. But they carried the gospel from Jerusalem to the world capital, Rome, before Acts ended. Now we have churches, 100, 200 people. For 30 years, they've planted only one church. How can we finish? How can we finish? Eh? How can we finish? You see? Yesterday, my son was telling me that one of our churches has been in existence for 20 years now. They have not planted a single church. How can we finish? How can we finish? Finish what? You see? So sometimes I think pastors just don't want us to finish so that their salary will be sure until retirement. Because if we finish, there will be no salary. You look at it. I know people who told me that, oh, pastor, I want Jesus to wait until I've married before he comes the second time. You see, we can't finish world evangelism if all we are doing is just looking at the statistics, being discouraged and sitting down. We cannot. It is not that Jesus cannot finish. Because in Acts chapter 19, from verse 8, we are going to read all the way to verse 12, but let's start from verse 8. Just listen.
19 from 8, verse 8.
Yes.
And he went into the synagogue.
Yes.
And spoke boldly for the space of 3 months.
He went to the synagogue where the Jews were and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months.
Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God.
Yes. One man disputing, persuading them concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Yes.
You continue. And that is.
Yes, we are reading all the way to verse 12.
I thought it was same verse.
No.
Have they changed it?
Next verse.
Yeah.
Yes.
And this continued by the space of 2 years.
This continued by the space of 2 years.
So that all they who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus.
The whole Asia Minor heard the word of God. 2 years.
Both Jews and Greeks.
Look at your ministry. The way you are doing it, do you think we can finish? We can't. We cannot. We cannot. But this work must be finished. It must be finished. Hallelujah. Tell your friend, this work must be finished. Nobody is sleeping or putting down his cutlass until we finish. Yes, nobody is sleeping. Nobody is putting down his cutlass until we finish. I went to a conference in South Korea, and they told us that the head pastor was in charge of discipleship. And he says, when you are in his discipleship group and he's discipling you, you are not even allowed to become pregnant. Then, my next argument why we are not finishing the work, my number three, is that we are using strategies and methods which can never finish the work. Please come. You too come. Face them. If I want you to finish packing all these chairs, all the chairs in the auditorium in 10 minutes, how will you do it? I want you to pack all the chairs in this auditorium 10 minutes. How will you do it? Don't listen to his. If I like, I can send you out so that you won't hear his. And when you come back, you tell us yours. Should I send him out? Okay, please. You go so that you won't hear him. I want you to pack all the chairs in this auditorium in 10 minutes.
I'll start from the back. Yeah.
No, tell us, the work has been given to you. If you finish, I'll pay you.
I'll start from the back. Start taking the small ones. The small one, not the big ones. So I'll start it from row to row.
Finish it. Clap for him, let him sit down. Okay, officer, please come. You can use the mic.
You want to find out how I'm going to pack
all these chairs in 10 minutes?
Looking at it, I don't think I can do it by myself. So I'll just have to get in more hands to help to finish in 10 minutes. Here.
Thank you. You see, you heard him. You heard him. It is the way we are doing the work why we haven't finished. It's the strategy the pastors and leading denominational heads and so on. The strategy we are using is why we haven't finished. Anybody with a bright idea? We want to pack all these chairs in 10 minutes. Anybody? Strategy. 10 minutes. They've asked you to pack these chairs in 10 minutes. Did I see a hand? Okay, yes, sir. Yes, madam.
Where the chairs should be packed. And then I'll ask everyone to pack his chair there.
Clap for her. Do you see what's happening? This man says he would pack the chairs, but he will start from the back, the smallest. This man says he can't do it alone, so he will get help. The lady is saying, I will tell everybody to pick his chair and show them where they should put it. I will kneel down and tell, yes. And after telling God, tell everyone that I beg you, please, one person, pick only your chair and put it here. You see, the work is not done because we are not searching for wisdom from God to do the work. And because the strategies we are using, they are old, outmoded, langa-langa, cutlasses which haven't been sharpened for a long time. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 10, the Bible says, if the iron is blunt, you are using it to work, you will use a lot of energy, there will be very little result. Yes, let's read it. Ecclesiastes 10:10.
If the iron be blunt,
yes,
and he do not whet the edge, then must he put more strength.
More strength.
But wisdom is profitable to direct.
Correct. Look, the strategies we are using, that's why the work is not done. Number four, we have blind pastors, blind leaders who don't even see. They are not aware of the big things of the kingdom of God. I'm not trying to insult any pastor or disgrace any pastor. That's not my intention. Otherwise, I won't be here. I've been a pastor now. This is my 37th year as a pastor. So, I am telling you that if you don't know there is a snake under your chair, you won't remove your leg. But if somebody says, snake, snake, you see that you get up and shake your leg. A lot of us, our pastors and Christian leaders, don't see world evangelism as a priority. They don't see it as something which needs to be finished before Jesus comes. So instead of, have you ever been in traffic? You are going to say Aplau or Takoradi, and there is a local trotro or taxi in front of you. Look, if you have been a driver, it's one of the most annoying things. Because that person is not going far. He's in a taxi in town. And trotting. So he's picking people. Circle, circle, circle. Then he will stop. Then he will move small. Circle, circle. Then he will stop. You are going to Takoradi. You are going to Aplau. So you are in a hurry. So because of that, you want to overtake. A lot of our Christian leaders, the doctors call it myopia. They are sick from short-sightedness. They don't see far. And because they are not seeing far, they cannot move the church to see far. I know a lot of evangelists, their pastors are busy pushing, kicking, elbowing them out of the church because they are competing with them and they don't like it. You see, the reason is that the pastor cannot see far. Two of you, come. Supposing, just for a minute, this man is strong, but he is blind. This man can see, but he is lame. And an enemy is searching for the two of them to kill them. What will you do? You are strong, but you are blind. He is He can see, but he is lame. The two of you. And somebody wants to kill the two of you. What will you do?
I'll scream and call for help.
You scream and call for help.
I'll hide.
Who knows what they should do? Yes. They have to collaborate. How? Yes.
I'm saying they have to collaborate just because since this one is very strong but can't see, and the other one can see but it's not that strong. So one have to, help the other. The one can see, will collaborate with the one who cannot see but strong. He can carry him. Amen.
You see, when this strong man carries this lame man, he will be saying, gutter. There's gutter here. No, move left. There's a tree. Yes. Then they can run away. You see? But what if on the way, the one you are carrying begins to urinate on this man? What will you do, sister? What will you do?
Put him down for him to finish. Then I'll carry him back.
Hallelujah. Will you say because he's urinating, so you will leave him? They will carry. Yeah. Look, if you are a pastor and an evangelist is bluffing you, carry the evangelist. Because without his gift, your church cannot grow. That's it. You know, even Peter, after being in the Bible school of Jesus for 3.5 years, and after Pentecost, he was still making mistakes. Because a big sheet was lowered from heaven in a trance. And God said, rise up, kill and eat. He said, no. Nothing uncommon or unclean has entered my mouth. I don't. 3 times. Because Peter, he likes 3 things. Yes. He denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus asked him, do you love me 3 times? This time to 3 times. No, I won't eat. You see, there is no human being on this earth who doesn't have problem. There's no marriage on this earth where there's no problem. There are challenges. You are only deciding to tolerate one another and carry one another. That's why you are still together. One of my women church members engaged me for about 1 hour and was complaining about our church. Then I said, she should go and search for a perfect church which has no problem. When she finds one, I will come and join her. I will come and join you in that church. There is no church where angels are members. You see, you came to the hospital because you have a wound and it's smelling. You too came to the hospital because you are coughing. So when we come and sit, and this man, turn, you say, you are disturbing. Your womb too is smelly. We are all sick. We have all come to Jesus. He said, come unto me. Or he that labor, I will give you. Is it not Jesus who invited us? We have come to him. So, brothers, you have to work together. Clap for them. So, if you see where you are going, it determines how patient you are and which people you are carrying with you and how much you can tolerate. If you are interested in world evangelism, your mind changes, your priorities change, your prayer topics change. Many of our all nights just to destroy our enemies. That's a popular thing in Ghana now. Pastor, go to church. He says, it's a pot. Bring all your enemies and their problems. Come and put it in the pot. And you break the pot. Hey, pray now. In the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. Will such people evangelize the world? You see? What is... You see? So what is happening is that once the leader doesn't have a vision and a priority for world evangelism, finishing the task, every energy is spent on killing house flies, mosquitoes, ants, all that. And when somebody, a church member brings $100,000, say, yeah, I need a new car. Because, you see, you don't see evangelism of the world. You only see how comfortable you should be. Every one of you who is a parent here, you are paying school fees. When money comes into your hand, you don't just spend. You think of the school fees. Every Christian who is waiting for the Lord Jesus to come from the skies, you change your way you spend your money. Your priorities change. The apostle said in Acts chapter 6, verse 3 and 4, that it is not good for us to leave the word of God and serve tables. Let us choose, look among yourselves, choose 7 men. This work is important. We'll put them in charge. We will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves to prayer and the ministry of the word. We will give ourselves to prayer. You see, if the first thing is not the first thing, then you have lost everything. Yes, let's read it. No, Acts, let's read verse 3 first. 3 and 4, yes.
3 and 4. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business.
Yes.
And 4 says, but we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word.
You see, they were keeping the main thing, the main thing. So what happened? Verse 7. What happened?
Verse 7 says.
Yes.
Acts chapter 6 verse 7 now. Yes. Whom they set.
No. 7. Yes.
And the word of God increased.
The word of God increased.
And the number of the disciples multiplied.
The number of disciples multiplied.
Multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith.
You see, the main thing must be kept as the main thing. If the leaders lose focus, what happens is they get involved in, you know, side issues. Last year, I told them a story. How many people are here from last year? Okay, I'll tell it again. My mother left my father when I was 4 years old. So I grew up with my stepmother. And one day we had a visitor. And my stepmother said, I should take one of the new buckets and go and fetch water from the river. We are living in the shop at Tapa Abotuasi. I went, I fetched the water, and I put it in the middle of the road. And one of my classmates, actually there were more, but they were swimming. And one of them said, oh, leave that boy, he doesn't know how to swim. And I said, me? I swim like a fish. And before you can say hallelujah, I put down my clothes, jump into the water, pum 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 pum, not knowing that an articulator from Ketekrachi loaded with yams was passing. It crashed my bucket in the water and went. One day when I'm happy, I will tell you how I went home that day. Many of us have forgotten that you have been sent by God to this earth. You have forgotten that there is a reason he sent you, and you are going to give account of every day you spend on this earth. Marriage, school, business, they have occupied you in such a way that, you see, last time I was coming and I was sitting behind a trotro, and the driver and the mate were fighting. You see, we have forgotten why God sent us to this earth, why Jesus bought us with his blood, why you speak in tongues, God's Holy Spirit was put in you, your body is a temple. You have forgotten because of what your husband is doing, because of what your friend is doing, because somebody has annoyed you. You have left the bucket of water and you have gone. Eh? I know some people, bitterness, and this person has done this one. And so what? Is that why you were sent to this earth? We are all going there. We are all going there. When we get before that throne, you will see whether what your wife did against you is so important. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Jeremiah 1:5, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you came out of your mother's womb, I sanctified you and ordained you a prophet to the nations. And when he leads them halfway, then the sheep will go each one this way, and then they will go back to the bottom of the hill. Then you go back, and then you gradually and push them. When they are about three quarters, they will. Finally, he got tired, and he left them. And he went to heaven on his own. And at the gate, they asked him, where are the sheep? Then he said, they were troubling me, so I left them behind. And they told him, you can't enter here without those sheep. So you better go back for them. You know, some of the sheep are really troublesome. And they make the work difficult. Then my number six is Satan. I wouldn't spend a lot of time on Satan because we all know him. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4 says that the God of this world has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that the light of the gospel will not shine to them. Matthew chapter 13 verse 19 says when somebody hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, Satan comes to pick it out of the person's heart so that he cannot be saved. We Ephesians 6:12, we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, world rulers, spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So Satan brackets, blocks, stops, puts comma, full stop, semicolon on our way in such a way that second, this one I'm not sure. Let's check it, please. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 3:18. Okay, let's check 2:18. Thank you.
Wherefore we would have come unto you.
Yes.
Even I, Paul.
Yes.
Once and again. But Satan hindered us.
Satan did what? So one of the things making it difficult for us to finish this task is Satan. He is hindering us. He is blocking us. He is stopping us. The people we are working on, he blinds them. And when we preach to them, he comes to remove the word from their heart. When the pastor wants to go and visit them, he stops them, hinders them from going. He is doing everything to make the work very difficult and frustrating. Okay. I haven't finished giving you the reasons why, the challenges, but I want to spend the rest of the time talking about the solutions. You know, whatever you say, this work will be finished. Because Revelation chapter 5, verse 9 and 10 tell us that the worship of the Lamb is because he bought with his blood people from every nation, every tribe, every language, every tongue.
Revelations 5, 9, and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, that in, and has redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred,
and tongue,
and people, and nation.
There must be Aquamus before the throne of God. There must be Sisalas before the throne of God. There must be Frafras before the throne of God. There must be Nzimas before the throne of God. There must be people from you name it, Zulus. There must be people from every tribe, every tongue, every nation, every language, because they were bought by the blood of Jesus.
And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
And Revelation 7, verse 9 and 10 says, it was done. Yes. God.
Revelation 7, 9,
this is 10. The prophetic vision of the accomplished work.
After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number.
A great multitude which no man could number, which Jehovah Witnesses cannot explain.
Of all nations.
Of how many nations? All nations.
And kindred.
And kindred.
And people.
And people.
And tongues.
And tongues.
Stood before the throne.
They stood before the throne.
And before the Lamb.
Yes.
Clothed with white robes.
Clothed with white robes.
And palms in their hands.
Palm branches in their hands.
Woo. And cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God.
Salvation to our God.
Which sitteth upon the throne.
Salvation to our God. Even if you won't do the work, it will be done. I tell church members that, look, for me, where I am now, I'm dying with this thing. Even if I'm cut into 1,000 pieces, each of them will be a full-time worker for Jesus. If I die and God says I should come back, I will do the same work, I'll marry the same wife. My mind is made up. You know, nothing moves me. Nothing on this earth moves me. This work must be finished. And it will be finished. Whether you are part of it or not, that's your problem. That is your problem, not God's problem. For him, the finished work, the prophetic vision, is that people from every language, every tribe, every nation, every people, all over the world, no man could number, standing before the Lamb, white robes, palm branches, Hosanna, 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 worthy, you are worthy, King of Kings,
Lord of Lords.
Yeah, the Kotokoli will be there, the Wali will be there, you see, the Bronx will be there, the Ahafo will be there, the Vagalas will be there, every tribe on earth will hear the gospel. Even if you don't do it, God will raise up people to do it. The work will be finished. It will be finished. The point is, will you be part? Will you bring your shoulders to the task and push so that we finish? That's the reason we are gathered here. That's the reason we are gathered here. I would like to begin from the angle of a thorough awareness of the work that is left. We need to know what job is left. Then we can bring the strategy to finish it. If they say carry 4 chairs in 10 minutes, it's different from if they say carry 200 chairs in 10 minutes. The plan you use is different. Now, right now, as I speak, the world population is 7.4 billion, still counting. 7.4 billion, still counting. Now, as I speak, 32% of the world claims to be Christian. Roughly 3 out of 10 people claim to be Christian. It includes Jehovah's Witnesses, Aladura, Christo Asafo, Mormons, Catholics, all of them together. Now, roughly 3.5 out of 10 have heard, but they have not responded. The rest have not heard. When we went to Mauritania, there were people who have never seen a Christian before in their life. Never. They have never seen a Christian that is a Christian before. So, we need to understand that you can't stay with your own local church and be dancing around for 5-10 years and say you are doing God's work. What preparation? Are you preparing for the master's coming? You can't prepare that way. You see? You can't prepare that way. You can't prepare that way. The church must be made aware. Individuals must be made aware. There are Christians who are loaded with money, but they would rather go to Dubai and spend holidays there than give it for any purpose. Because when they look at the church and what you are doing, nothing in them tells them that you have a big enough vision to demand a big enough money. Should I say it again? Or you understand? Certainly, if you are building a hen coop and you say, oh, please, can you give me some money to build a hen coop? The money I'll give you is different from if you are building a 10-story building. And you say, please, can you help me? If I can help, what I will give for the hen coop is different from what I will give for the story building. If our vision is small and the awareness of our church members is narrow, because 52 Sundays in a year, you stand in the pulpit and talk to them and they see that you are not seeing beyond your nose. Why should they give you more money? For what? For what? You see, a Japanese woman said that she lost her husband. They had only one daughter. Is it Japanese or Korean? I've forgotten. And she asked the daughter, what do you want to be in life? And she said, doctor. And the mother said, oh, you know your father is dead. To be a doctor, paying for medicine. Hey. The girl said, oh, for me, mama, I just want to be doctor. And the mother went and said, doctor you shall be. And she tied her aprons. She cleaned the floors of stores. She served, she swept, she did everything. Looked after that girl. The day the girl graduated and was given her certificate as medical doctor, she died. Yes. Doctor you will be. You see, there are church members. If you tell them that this is the situation, let's get up and do world evangelism, there will be people who put on their belt and work and give and pray until they would rather die that this work will be done. You see, we don't get people with conviction because the pulpit is not convicted. It takes a persuaded man to persuade other people. It takes a convinced man to convince other people. That is the truth. So the pulpit can only be mobilized when we ourselves, we are aware of what is happening. You know, when we started our Bible school, I went and preached at Lagos, one of their joint services. And I told them that our school is giving scholarship to anybody from the north, upper east, upper west. You are in the university, you are a Christian, you want your people to change. Come, we'll give you scholarship, train you. Then they came, and I'm only using one of them. He's called Tawam. He's a cucumber. He comes from Yachado, close to Tatani. And he came through the Bible school. He went back home, preached to his family members, baptized them, preached to his former JHS teacher. He received Christ. He was baptized. He brought him to the Bible school here. We trained him. They went back. Now they've planted 10 churches in Kokumba. That's what we call vision. He's a university student. He came to the university to learn. But he heard that souls are perishing. My people are dying. Ah, I want to help. And here he is now. Last time I brought him before the group, just teaching Bible alone, he has already received 2 computers, 2 laptops. My wife says he preaches better than I do. Because when you get that boy and he is talking Bible verses, what are you talking about? He was a Roman Catholic. We just picked him raw, brought him. And I'm witness. He himself testified that the first time he went for Don Broadcast on Legon campus, he had no Bible verse to quote. Now, if you listen to Tawam, you can't get up. You can't get up from your seat. You wonder whether you are born again. You see? So, I'm just telling you that we need to be aware of what is happening. They went there the other time. He said there are over 200 Kokumba villages between their village and Togo. No church. No church. No church. So, one of them is called Chapu. He came and I asked him, what do you want to do with your life? He went through the Bible school. He said, I see God calling me back home to plant churches in Northern region, Upper East, Upper West. That's it. If you, the person who is in charge of the evangelism, you yourself, you are not aware of the problems, how can you cause people to be aware? How can you create awareness? How can you mobilize people? Because you yourself, you don't know. And therefore, when you are talking, your mind, the highest part of your mind is only Accra. Last year, I showed your seniors a clip, video clip, of what is happening in the world today. Many of you think that ISIS, Boko Haram, Al-Shabaab, Al-Qaeda, they are joking. That's what you think. You see, the Christian front is a very funny front. Sometimes I sit down and I ask myself, do we know what is happening? Eh? Do you know that the mayor of London is a Muslim? The highest parliamentary seat in the whole United Kingdom is the mayor of London. He's a Muslim now. The international leader of all students in the United Kingdom is a Muslim now. They have got their plan. And London alone has over 400 mosques now, as I speak. They have over 1,000 mosques in the UK, and they have bought many churches and are using them to teach Quran. Umakranta. If you think I'm lying, just Google. Go on the internet, Google, and say mosques, churches made mosques in the UK. That's all. And see for yourself. You see? It's because a generation before them built the churches, but they didn't disciple people. And so the churches are now empty. They are selling them to Muslims. You need awareness. We need awareness. We need to wake up and see what is going on. Me, I'm not a politician, and I don't ever want to be, because I politicize for Jesus Christ. You see? But as I speak now, the number of mosques that are being built in our tertiary institutions and the white paper for building a mosque in every secondary school in Ghana is underway now. And the Christians are sitting down. You see? This is it. Of all the churches Paul planted in the Bible, not one is left. Asia Minor, which we read just now, is Turkey. 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 Turkey is 99% Muslim. I haven't been to Turkey before, but one of my friends went and said, he was weeping. Why? You can see a church with a cross, and they put Muhammad's sickle on it, the half moon on it. All the churches our people planted generations ago are now mosques, and Ghanaians are doing the same. God has given Ghana breathing space so that you prepare. But if we are also careless, you will see what will happen. It's not a prophecy. It's truth. You see? And our church members are sleeping. They are sleeping. Even those who are working. You know? Those days, when you tell them, oh, you are a bank manager, why don't you start a prayer meeting at the bank? You say, oh, Pastor, you don't understand. Our work ethics doesn't. When Muslim bank manager comes, there is time for Muslim prayer. Every bank which is headed in Ghana now by Muslim has Muslim prayer time. But Christian bank managers have no time for prayer. What is that? They go to a church before some pastor every Sunday. 12 years before Obama, President Obama became president of the United States, he was in the church of a pastor. 12 years. That pastor performed their wedding, christened their daughters. 12 years. Then Obama became president. Look at what he did. He immediately left the church. For 12 years, God brought to your church the most important human being for the most important country in the world. For 8 years, he was president. God gave that pastor opportunity to impact him so that he can impact America. He wasted it. No vision. No vision. No awareness. Blind leaders of the blind. You know, my heart, because when I see the opportunities we are missing, when I see the opportunity, recently we sent some of our team to Angloga. When they went, they started speaking from school to school. They went to one headmaster, and when they spoke to the school, the headmaster closed the school for 1 week that they should teach Bible for a week. My wife is my witness. Scripture Union took 1 million Bibles and went to Northern Region, Upper East, Upper West. Look, every school they got to, the head teachers closed the school. They preached, shared Bibles, and 1 million Bibles all finished before they came back. Who says Ghana is not right? Who says Ghana is not right? Who says Ghana is not right? Who says? Somebody should get up and tell me that Ghana is not right. Do you think it will always be like this? My wife and I went to Glasgow. And one of the boys came back from school and said, Mama, Gideon's International came to share New Testament in our school. And when they finished, 95 out of 100 boys and girls put the Bible into the rubbish dump, trash can, in the presence of them before leaving. Do you think Ghana will always be like this? Do you think so? Do you think our university students will be in church like this always? Go and ask. Last time I went to the UK to perform an ordination, the youngest person in the church was more than 60 years old. My wife is here. We went to, what is this, Joseph Somerville's town? In Scotland. Okay. We went there and he took us to a church. When we went to the church, we closed. We met the person who was the youth leader. He's 60 years old. So we asked him, how come you are 60, you are youth leader? He said, I was youth leader when there were youth in this church. Now there are no youth. So I'm the youth leader now. Look, there is God who has given Africa, our youth, in the church. You can't see that in Europe. You can't see it in UK. It is not there. The youth are not in church. But in Africa, the youth are in church. Is it not because heaven wants to help us with the next generation? Why should we waste the time? Because if a typical university student is sitting in your church and listens to you and sees you don't have vision, you don't have any big plan, he will soon leave. He will soon leave. Ah. Anyway, I'm looking at my time. The point is, we need to be aware of what is happening. We need, every one of us must research, Google, read, find out what is happening around you. It is then that you wake up to the fact that what? Things are not as they should be. We need to change the way we do things because things are changing. 45 out of 100 Africans are below 15 years old. So where should your evangelism be? You see, 80 out of 100 people who ever become Christians before they are 18 years old. We chase bank managers because if you get one in your church, then you are settled. But look, tomorrow's church is made up of the youth. And more youth become believers easily than the older person we are worrying about. Sometimes I go to a secondary school to preach. 500 people come to accept Christ. I remember your head pastor and assistant, when they were going around, the number of students who were coming to accept Christ was so much, so many names that they just said, secondary school ministry is not a joke. They are ready to accept Christ now. They will not forever be like that. A time is coming. You preach to them, they won't listen. We need to be aware. We need to know the facts. We need to know where to concentrate on. And number two is we must not only know the facts, we must share the facts. You must tell people that this is what is happening. You need to communicate vision to people. Every leader knows that when you have a vision and it's in your head, You cannot mobilize people. It's when you tell them that people wake up and say, hey, I see. You see, if I come and tell you that, oh, brother, you know, I've just come to say that all the Wase leavers, when they finish school, the girls get pregnant and the boys smoke weed. So I want to start an NGO which will touch people who have just finished Wase and bring them to Christ. Supposing I share that with him. They say, well, for me, I can't go. I'm busy, but I will give you so much money. Then this person say, oh, me, I don't have money, but anywhere you send me, I will go. Because you have shared the vision. You have communicated it. And because of the communication, people wake up. But number three, which is the last one I want to settle on, is I want to work a little on our strategy. Many of us don't say it, but we actually tell Jesus that he was not thinking well. We feel we know a little more than Jesus because the way he was doing his thing, we know a better way to do it. But Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 says that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. If it is on the board, please, I just want all of us to stand up and read it. Yes, give it to us on the board. Colossians 2 verse 3.
Colossians chapter 2 verse 3.
Yes. Let's all read it together. Go. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Lift up your hand and say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden inside you. So I will follow you. I will do the work the way you did it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Please take your seat. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in Jesus. You cannot improve Jesus' method. You can't be wiser than Jesus. Luke 6:40 says the disciple is not above his master. If he is well trained, he will be like his master. You can't find a shortcut which Jesus did not know. We need to understand that. Are you with me? So what did Jesus do? When he started his ministry, he picked disciples. John chapter 2, verse 11 says that. The first miracle Jesus did, his disciples were with him and they believed in him. Let's read it. John 2:11.
John chapter 2 verse 11.
Yes.
The beginning of miracles did Jesus.
The beginning of miracles did Jesus.
In Cana of Galilee.
Yes.
And manifested forth his glory.
Yes.
And his disciples believed on him.
His disciples did what?
They believed on him.
So, even though Jesus did many miracles, he always made his disciples see what he was doing so that they can do the same. Many of us have no disciples. When you die, your vision dies with you. Your calling dies with you. This is the difference between Moses and Joshua. Moses, when he was about, God told him, you won't enter Canaan, I'm taking you away. He said, God, who is going to replace me? And God told him, take Joshua, the son of Nun. Put your hands on him. Moses trained Joshua from Exodus chapter 17. So, 1 week after Moses died and they had the funeral, they entered Canaan. because there was a leader he prepared. It's the same with Elijah and Elisha. When Elijah was finishing ministry, he told God, kill me, I'm tired. God told him that, go and take Elisha, anoint him as prophet in your place, and go and anoint Jehu, king of Israel, and go and anoint Hazael, king of Syria. He did only one. He went and anointed Elisha. The two, it was Elisha who did the rest. But Elisha, when he was dying, he had no disciple. So in his grave, he still had anointing. So his dead bones raised a dead man. But he left no successor. So because of him, Elijah did 7 big miracles. Elisha did 14. The last miracle of Elijah, breaking the Jordan into 2, was the first miracle of Elisha. You see, Elijah raised 1 dead person. Elisha raised 2. But he left nobody behind to carry the mantle. So when Jesus started ministry, the first thing he did was pick disciples. So when they killed him, they said, aha, we are finished with him. But Acts 4:13 says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they knew they were unlearned and ignorant men, they took knowledge they have been with Jesus. You've killed Jesus, but you haven't killed him. There are 12 Jesuses left. Look into your ministry. If something happens to you now, is there anybody to replace you? If there is nobody, I tell you, you are wrong. You are not following your master. Luke chapter 6 verse 12 and 13 says, in those days, Jesus went to the mountains to pray. He continued the whole night in prayer to God. When it was day, he called his disciples and chose 12 to be with him. That's it. That's it. When you make disciples, you increase your ministry. As I'm here now, I have people teaching Bible school because I don't need to be there. One of my young men has read the Bible through 12 times already. And when he's on the platform, you would like to hide. So they are ordinary students we picked and just trained. Just trained, just trained, just trained. Last time, I was to catch a flight to London, but I didn't know it would be so early. And I was preaching at Prophet Achumanase's place. We're having a conference. Was it a conference or one of these? So I went the first day, but the second day I had to fly. So I called my son and I said, please, you have to help me. I can't go to Prophet Achumanase's. You must go and preach this evening. He said, oh, daddy, I came to school with only my sandals, no shoes, and I can't go like that. I said, oh, when we are going to the airport, we will bring you shoes. So we brought him shoes and sent him, and I left. When I came back, the mother is here. There are many places I go, and the pastors, I give my son 5 minutes to speak, and the pastors say they enjoy his sermon more than mine. Do you understand? What I'm saying is that ministry, if you are in ministry and you want to be like Jesus, you from this conference, you better search for a disciple and pour your life, your soul into them. Pour yourself into them. Train, build, and groom, and help them to do better than you. When they stand on your shoulders, they can see further than you. Not because they are taller, but they are standing on your shoulders. So when Jesus was on earth, we are never told that his shadow was healing the sick. But Peter's shadow, in Acts chapter 5, from verse 12 to 17, Peter's shadow healed the sick and cast out demons. We are not told that handkerchiefs and aprons from Jesus' body were sent far away to heal the sick. But Paul, handkerchiefs and aprons from his body were sent far away and they healed the sick. It's possible to have disciples who do better than you. Yes. Where are they? They are sitting there in front of you. Their people are there. They are there. They are there sitting in front of you. If you invest in them, you'll be shocked. They will surprise you. Shall we be on our feet? I have been trying to convince you that even though the work has not been finished, the work must be finished. And this morning, if you are here and you want to be part of those who finish the work, whatever it will cost, I want you to start praying. Tell heaven that whatever it takes, I want to be part of the army that finishes this work, that finishes world evangelism. I'm preparing for the second coming of Jesus. I believe it. I believe it. I believe Jesus is coming again, and I don't want to leave the work undone. Shall we begin to talk? Talk. Tell the Lord about yourself. Yes. Yes. This work must be finished. It must be done. It must be done. It must be done. Yes. It must be finished. The work must be done. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Father, raise up an army. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Be part of the team. Finishing the work. Finishing the task. Finishing the work. Building on it. Amen. 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 It takes a convinced man to convince other people. I want you to pray for conviction. You see, that when people die, they go to hell if they don't know Jesus. You need to be convinced. Otherwise, you are not an evangelist. Let's pray that God will give us conviction so that until we see every human being hearing about Jesus, winning their souls, planting churches, making disciples, we will not stop today. We won't stop tomorrow. Let's pray for conviction by the Spirit of the living God. Yes. Yes, Father. Yes, Lord. Yes, Father. Conviction, 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 conviction. Amen. Amen. Please hold the hand of somebody beside you We are going to pray for strategy. Strategy. We are going to pray that the wisdom of God will give us the strategy to finish this work. We want to finish, we need God's wisdom to have a strategy which will do the work. Some of us have been doing this work over and over and over and over, but the results are like that because of the strategy. Let's pray for strategy. Let's ask for wisdom of God. Pray, pray together. Yes, for strategy, for strategy, for strategy, strategy, strategy. The wisdom of God, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God. Strategy, strategy, strategy. Yes, the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God to finish this task, to finish this work, to finish this work, to finish this work in the name of Jesus. Yes, strategy, strategy, strategy. Yes, Father, give us the strategy. Give us hearts that have strategy. Yes, in the name of Jesus. Yes, strategy, strategy, strategy. Yes, the strategy of God. Yes, give us appropriate strategies. Open our eyes to see that we can challenge the ways we are doing the work. In the name of Jesus. 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 Kinda la habaka kima kinda. Keki ama kinda. Keki ama kinda. Amen. Amen. Now, the last prayer is personal. Leave the person you are holding. How many disciples do you want God to give you before you die? How many disciples do you want to leave behind the day we are burying you? The day you are being buried. How many people do you want to behind who can continue the work the way you have been sent by God? Tell the Lord now. Tell him now. Talk to the Lord. Yes, about your disciples. The disciples. The disciples. Amen. Amen. I'm told yesterday you prayed for character and power. So today I just want us to deal with the gifts of the Spirit. Because without the gifts, you cannot walk in step with the Holy Spirit. So please, just lift up your hands wherever you are and say it after me. Say, Spirit of the living God, I am bought by the blood of Jesus. I am yours. I give you myself. Fill me. I want words of wisdom. I want words of knowledge. I want distinguishing of spirits. I want special faith. I want gifts of healing. I want working of miracles. Holy Spirit, please give me the gift of prophecy. I want different kinds of tongues. Spirit of God, I want interpretation of tongues. Yes, it's a gift. 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 Receive it. Yes. Receive the gift. Receive it. Yes. Gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. Gifts of healing. For the work. For the work. For the work. For the work. Gifts of healing. Yes. Yes. Receive. 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 For the work. For the work. For the work. For the work. Healing. Workings of miracles. 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 Special faith. Special faith. Special faith. Special faith. Special faith. Special faith. Words of wisdom. 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 Words of knowledge. Words of knowledge. Words of knowledge. Yes. Prophecy. 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 Yes. Different kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. Interpretation of tongues. Visions. Dreams. Receive. 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 Amen. 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 Let's just be quiet. Yes, he called you. He bought you with his blood. He filled you with his Holy Spirit. He gave you work. Now he must give power to do the work. Yamakinda. He gave you work. He must give power. According to your work, receive his power. According to the work he has given you, grace, grace, receive grace, receive grace. Yes, somebody is receiving grace. Yes, somebody is receiving grace. Take, take, take more grace, take more grace, take more grace, take more grace. The journey before you, the journey before you, the journey before you, the journey before you. Yes, take grace, take grace. Take grace, take grace, take more grace, take more grace, receive grace. Yes, receive grace for the journey. Receive new shoes, new boots, new shoes for your feet, new shoes for your feet. Receive new shoes for your feet. Receive new shoes. A new anointing, a new anointing, a new anointing, new oil, new oil, new oil, new oil, fresh oil, fresh oil, oil for the journey, oil for the work, oil for the task, oil. Yes. Yes. This is grace. More grace is being poured upon your life. More grace. More grace. Take more grace. Take more grace. Take more grace. Receive more grace. He gives more grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. And oil for your journey. New shoes for your feet. New shoes for your feet. New shoes for your feet. New shoes. New shoes. Heavenly Father, we thank you. You said we shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon us. We shall be your witnesses, both in Jerusalem, all Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. You said all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey what I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you to the close of the age. Lord, let this army grow. Let it stand strong. Let it break mountains. Give them iron feet. Make their foreheads adamant like stone. Breastplates of righteousness. To climb mountains and go into valleys until the work is finished. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.